the crowd goes wild.
Was that wild?
That was wild.
Oh,
okay. I just cannot believe guys who can sing higher than I can.
And you have a high-pitched voice sometimes.
And, well, ever since the surgery when I lost four notes off the bottom register and it,
oh,
like,
yeah,
it moved
surgery.
Up. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
It's still, it's just a stretch to sing as high as that guy does.
Oh, well, hey, thank goodness you've not got a Bracken block today like Rihanna has.
What is a Bracken block?
Apparently she spelled brain wrong.
Oh.
So Rihanna has a Bracken block today.
Oh, Rihanna, I love your typos.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like you like my struggle to say hard words.
Well, that's more along the lines of fetish, isn't it, really? But anyway, who are we?
We are Conundrum with Cougar and Slider, and I am Cougar.
And I'm Slider.
And that makes us Conundrum, Canooper, and Slider. Conundrum with Cougar and Slider. And Slider usually starts the show with some weird, worldwide weird, so why don't we get some of those taken
Certainly.
Care
well,
of.
I heard a rumor, by the way, today, but there may be an urban legend. Our show is going to be to do with urban legends.
That
is that
going
to get Snopes out of all entirety? Or
that is
true?
Actually a true urban legend.
Not until it happens, though.
Not until it happens.
Hey, think about it.
Yeah.
All right, so these are a few of my stories. They've noticed this weird. I'm catching it. noticed this week that I call the Worldwide Weird News Stories. So first of all, a rare black flamingo was spotted grabbing a bite to eat with some friends at a salt lake in Cyprus earlier this week. Experts say the bird's unusual colouring can be attributed to a genetic condition that causes it to produce an excess of melanin, resulting in black feathers. The birds were spotted near a British Air Force base close to a resort city. They likely stopped for a break on the way to their summer breeding grounds. A black flamingo was reported in Israel in 2014, and experts think this may be the same bird. Didn't you mention something about what they eat gives the colour they pink?
Yeah, the crustaceans that they eat. They're normally white, but the crustaceans that they eat start staining their feathers.
And that's what turns a flamingo pink?
Makes them turn pink. Yeah.
My word.
That's what I learned on a nature show one time.
Uh-huh. But anyway, certainly a black flamingo will be a bit of a sight. And the other point is that it's just there milling around with all the rest of them.
Yeah.
And as I read in one of the comments things under a video that I watched on this, what did he say? Something like, doesn't matter what color you are when you're a flamingo, the main thing is you're a flamingo.
Yeah.
And I thought, well, there's a bit of a tip for the human race.
And it's usually birds or, you know, animals of a different feather, like albino deer and stuff, get shunted from the flock.
Yeah, kicked out. Yeah.
But that's great that this one's been accepted with the flock.
Well, it might be a hard nut. It might be working out a bit. You know, those skinny little legs he's got. It might have actually, you know, might have got good muscles going on there. They're not going to bother with it. Could be top of the pack. Okay, the next story. Oh, I like this one.
Oh, Rihanna's got a big echo.
Oh, really?
Yes. I don't know. It must be your end. Does anybody else have an echo?
Echo?
Sound
check. One,
echo?
Two, three.
Echo?
Is this thing on?
Cool.
Oh, okay. We won't know, of course. There's a time delay, isn't there? About 10 seconds or 15 seconds.
Chris hasn't. Yeah, Chris is saying it must be on her end. So.
Oh, right. So we're all right, are we?
Yeah, thanks, Chris.
Well, if we'd have gone to Texas this week, which might have happened,
yes,
we could have ended up with a little bit of cash. Because a Brinks armored truck spilled a bag full of cash on a Texas highway on Friday, slowing down traffic as motorists stopped on the road to scoop it up. Police said that at this time, it appears as if most of the money that was lost by the truck has been picked up by citizens traveling along the roadway. There's no indication of how much cash spilled from the truck that was travelling on Interstate 20 to Abilene, but Weatherford police said it was substantial, and Brinks was not immediately available for comment. Police told motorists to stay in their cars, warning that looking for cash on a highway can be dangerous. But video on social media, purported to be from the scene, shows vehicles stopping along the roadway and people trying to track down the paper money as it fluttered in the Texas wind. Brinks told police that the cash was in a plastic bag that fell out of the truck from a side passenger door. The bag broke open and spilled the money along the roadway.
Guess who doesn't have a job anymore?
Oh, that driver. Oh, yeah.
Well, what? Maybe not the driver, but
the guy holding the bag.
Yeah. I don't think he's going to have a job tomorrow.
I don't think so. I mean, what is he doing up there? I thought he put it in the back.
Yeah,
in,
they
in
do. Yeah, why is it in the front? Maybe he just picked it up. was going to pass it through a door into the back or something like that.
That would make some sense.
Rather than opening the back door just to put...
Yeah, but if he's on the highway already, they've done a certain distance, haven't they? Because they don't fill up on a highway, so...
I don't know.
Anyway, this is a story, the next one that you picked up, and you found to be quite shocking and disgusting. Annegret Rohnig, a 65-year-old German woman who's got 13 children, is now 5 months pregnant with quadruplets. She said in a TV interview on Monday that she's healthy and fit and expects to raise her babies to adulthood when she'll be in her 80s.
She's 65 years old, folks, 65. With 13 children already, and she was artificially inseminated to have quadruplets.
You know, she was, if it was for adoption or she was a surrogate type thing, it was one of these type of things, you know. But for her own, she's already got 13 kids.
You're 65 years old, you wouldn't even do it for surrogacy.
No.
That's just...
Safety. What about the kids themselves?
Safety, exactly.
I mean, not just, they probably won't have a mother when they're growing up.
I would imagine by now they've done an amniocentesis. Amniocentesis to make sure that there's no... Down syndrome type factor or anything
increase,
like that. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know, early forces and things. Yeah. Anyway, carrying on. Rohnig, a Russian and English elementary school teacher from the Spandau Borough of Berlin, acknowledges in the interview on RTL TV's Extra, which is following her unusual pregnancy weekly, that the procedure by which she was implanted with 4 embryos is illegal in Germany. Yeah, that as well.
Seriously.
Yeah, which allows it only for women under 40. That's why she travelled to the Ukraine to have it done, she says.
Oh, for Pete's sake.
The 4 babies are due in August, just in time for Ronnie's retirement.
It's just
wrong on so many levels.
You just wouldn't, would you?
No. Certainly not.
It's not going to be her raising those babies. It's going to be the older kids.
Oh, yeah, you look at it that way.
You know?
Somebody didn't think something through, did they?
I don't think so.
Right.
You know, and like you say, when they get adulthood and they reach 18, she's going to be in her 80s if she's still alive.
Mm-hmm.
That's not responsible. I'm sorry. It's not.
I agree with including it because it's a really weird thing to do. All right, now, story number 4. Aha. Yeah, you like cooking, don't you? Trying something new, different ingredients and, you know.
Yeah.
All right. Well, the newest cookbook on the market was compiled by a chef who has never tasted a single morsel of food ever. As the book's introduction points out, this culinary prodigy, in fact, has no taste buds, no nose, no any sensual experiences of food or drink. This could be the world's first collection of recipes created by artificial intelligence. Watson, IBM's cognitive system that famously defeated 2 human grand champions to win the US quiz show Jeopardy, has turned its attention to the kitchen. The computer was programmed to produce ideas for food combinations that would taste pleasant at the molecular level and that, crucially, had not yet been tried.
How does it know?
How does it know what's been tried? Yeah.
How does it know what is good tasting at a molecular level?
If it's got no taste buds.
If it has no taste buds.
Uh-huh. Which gives you a little bit of a clue to the following, which are what it came up with. The surprising results include the Spanish almond crescent, a butterless and sugar-free pastry flavored with pepper, saffron, and coconut milk.
Pepper?
And coconut milk were in there as well, you see.
Uh-huh.
Asparagus grilled with pig's feet, croquettes, and mustard foam. Whatever the heck
mustard
that is.
Mustard foam?
What is mustard foam?
I don't know. I don't think I want to know.
No. An apple and pork kebab cooked with mushrooms, strawberries, and curry powder.
Just no.
Way to go. And an ale brewed with veal stock. How about that? A plum pancetta cider. And a bacon dessert made from porcini mushrooms, walnut meal, and dried figs.
Oh,
that reminds me of something. Figs. I was reading a thing this week whereby the only way that a fig can ripen is if a wasp climbs inside. It loses its wings with the structure of the fig shape on the inside of itself, and the fig digests the wasp. So every fig, these fig Newtons and things that you have, you only eat them because a wasp has digested.
What do you do?
Isn't that gross?
Yeah.
Ah, well, IBM said it wanted to apply its innovation to a field that every human being appreciates, which is food.
Well, I don't think it'd be appreciating it for long if that thing is going to be making a cookbook.
No, I think the emergency section of local hospitals would appreciate it as a business.
No, not going to sell too well.
No. Anyway, related to that story in a way is perhaps my own worldwide weird news story for this week.
Oh, what did I cook?
No, you didn't. I used to do the computer side.
Oh.
Now, I've never used Twitter. I've never sent a tweet. I've simply never used the service. I still actually don't know how to send a tweet by using Twitter.com. But a little Wi-Fi module I got from China for $3 does know and has been tweeting merrily for the past few days. The module, a fingernail-sized ESP8266, is supposed to be for connecting sensors to it, such as temperature or voltage or whatever, but because it has a processor on board and memory, I decided to program it up to connect to Twitter and post tweets this week. Affectionately known as 2C7D, because that's the end of its serial number, the little guy has tweeted a few times so far and even has followers. It's kind of surreal, really. The icing on the cake for me was when John Lee from Espressive Systems, the creators of the device, retweeted and favorited what my module has been tweeting out. The messages themselves are sort of cross between, or intended to be, a cross between HAL 9000, Marvin the Paranoid Android from Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, and Johnny Five from Short Circuit. Hopefully entertaining and nothing like sensory ports or other boring stuff. You can follow the inanimate circuit board at the Twitter handle of at ESPModule.
Daisy.
Oh, yeah, I've done that one. Yes, a lot of fun that is. And like I say, I don't even know how to use Twitter, but I've programmed in the right parameters to use it from, you know, the program.
So it's a machine, Twittering machines.
Yeah, why not?
It's not Mark doing it.
No. That's the point. It's quite strange that people are following and retweeting and favoriting, and I'm like, all right, fair enough. Yeah, a lot of fun anyway. A lot of fun, those things. Right, Julie, that completes.
Is that
the,
all you got?
Yeah,
well,
worldwide weird news stories for this week.
Let's give a shout out to the folks in the room here. We got some new.
We got people, have we?
Yes, we got
new ones, the robots.
Kathy Susan Echoes, who is me. We got Curious Times Chris. We got Energy Therapies, and I don't think we've seen you in the room before.
That.
So thank you for coming by. Jennifer's Journey, we've got Linz and Rihanna and Simon Swain. We got Slider, 2732. That's Mark. We got Supernatural Radio and Walk with Spirit. So thank you all for stopping by and listening to our BS.
So what are we talking about today, then?
Today
is the urban legend confirmed?
The urban legend is confirmed. We've got some urban legends here. Some of them I'm going to just skip because they have to do with American taxation, and so many of you are not from America.
We're all bothered about taxation.
Yeah, that
bothers
much. The first one here is the rumor that the use of Facebook Messenger app requires user acceptance of many privacy-violating conditions. And I know this is one that you're concerned about.
Well, I don't use Facebook.
I know, that's why. It's a mixture of being false and true.
Ah.
There are many articles circulating about all the privacy incursions of Facebook new Messenger app, but I don't think they could all be true, is what one of the statements are. In the origins of this, in the mid-2014, Facebook rolled out the Facebook Messenger app, a standalone version of its social network's instant chat feature, which users access separately on their mobile devices, i.e. without launching the full Facebook app.
Yeah.
That rollout prompted renewed interest in a December 2013 article by Sam Fiorella, circulated widely in August 2014, warned potential Facebook Messenger users that the app's terms of service requires the acceptance of an alarming amount of personal data and direct control over your mobile device.
Is this a lot like downloading apps, say, for Android, and you get all this, you know, this app would like to inside leg measurement,
exactly,
etc., and wants to know everything. I mean, why would I don't know what, a flashlight app? Oh, yeah, apparently there's 10 of those.
They say
top
that
10 flashlight apps are virus to heck, aren't they?
So many of these conditions are permissible on so many other applications that it's really like it's no big deal that they ask you for all this
stuff.
Yeah,
well, the problem is accepting it as no big deal. That's the thing. Like I said, a flashlight app shouldn't need to know your personal details, your contacts,
well, this is,
et cetera.
This tells you why they do it. It says Facebook Messenger's app, which boasts over 1 billion downloads, requires the acceptance of an alarming amount of personal data and even more startling direct control over your mobile device. I'm willing to bet that few, if any, of those who don't download this app will read the full terms of service before accepting them and downloading the app.
Yeah. No one ever does.
If you're one of these 1 billion people who have downloaded this app, take a moment to read the following. I've posted word for word a few of the most aggressive app permissions you've accepted. It allows the app to change the state of network connectivity. Allows the app to call numbers without your intervention. This may result in unexpected charges or calls.
Oh, right. So it itself can make go on Wi-Fi or whatever else and then dial out to Uzbekistan or something.
Malicious apps may cost you money by making calls without your confirmation. Allows the app to send SMS messages. This may result in unexpected charges. Malicious apps may cost you money by sending messages without your confirmation. Allows the app to record audio with microphone.
Bow, bow, bow.
This permission allows the app to record audio at any time without your confirmation.
Holy Hannah.
See, these are all things that you're afraid of.
Well, I won't say afraid of.
Well,
if it's happening, then that thing's saying that's what you give permission for.
The thing is that it's kind of, yeah, it does, but it doesn't really do it.
Yeah. Why would it ask, then?
Yeah. Let's see. Allows the app to take pictures and videos with a camera. This permission allows the app to use the camera at any time without your confirmation. Now, this is one thing you were telling me about LG televisions.
Yeah, there was stories.
Why
do
they
around.
Have?
Yeah, the
apparently
camera. It even says this should not be used when discussing private important information or something. Because apparently you can talk to the handset and the TV does stuff, but the data itself is sent online for some odd reason. Because if you're connected to Netflix and stuff, I guess your TV's online. We don't even have TV service, do we?
No.
But we're lucky to have phones. But anyway, the thing being that apparently, and I don't know if it's true, but it's one of those urban legend things floating around.
Didn't you tell me it has a camera also that can watch you?
Yeah.
Why would a television need a camera?
I think for the new motion sensing stuff. You remember like the Kinect stuff that Microsoft do?
Oh,
so it can, if you wave your hand in front of the TV,
kinda
the TV
Xbox
will come on. And
stuff like that.
Yeah, and that's pretty cool stuff. You wave your hand in front of the TV,
that's
comes
well.
On. But the problem is, it's looking all the time for those. And a lot of people say, well, the resolution is about 100 by 80 or somewhere. It's really low and it's going to be blocky and anything. Question there is, says who?
Oh, says who, and like they don't have the capability to make resolution out of those blocks into a more refined picture.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Merely just an awareness that this kind of stuff could be dodgy. It may not be, and hopefully it isn't.
Okay, allows the app to read your phone's call log. They said you phone call logs and screwed up, including data about coming and outgoing calls. This permission allows apps to save your call log data. Data or data?
Data.
Data, okay. A malicious app.
Especially if two apps fancy each other.
Yes. I get it.
Right.
May share a call log data without your knowledge. Allows the app to read data about your contacts stored on your phone, including the frequency with which you've called, emailed, or communicated in other ways with specific individuals. Allows the app to read personal profile information stored on your device, such as the name and contact information. This means the app can identify you and may send your profile information to others.
Mm, allows to pay for it.
Yeah. Allows the app access to the phone features of the device. This permission allows the app to determine the phone number of and device IDs, whether a call is active and the remote number is connected by a call, and allows the app to get a list of accounts known by the phone. This may include accounts created by applications you have installed.
See, I understand some of this, like, it might need access to the camera because, hey, because the messenger thing allows you to do, like, a Skype thing with people.
Right.
But therefore, it would also need to access the microphone. I get that. But when it's coming out with at any time and it's not specific to the user being using that messenger chat thing, that's where things go wrong.
Right.
Otherwise, you can understand a lot of reasons why it might want access to this, that, and the rest, because it has to be able to work to supply the features to you. But it's in the wording, like you say there, that's written,
but
that
then
you can do it at any time.
Yeah, and you got to wonder who's collecting this data.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
As others, such as the Washington Post, noted, however, many of these permission requests are neither uncommon nor unreasonable and are really much different or more onerous than the permissions required by the main Facebook app itself. And it says, in Facebook's defense, there are plenty of legitimate reasons for requesting these permissions. Messenger needs to access your camera, for instance, so that you can send pictures, and few people would want to confirm microphone access every time they use the app to place a call. These kind of sweeping permissions are also extremely common, probably to a degree you don't realize. Even the most vanilla apps collect extraordinary amount of personal data. Weatherbug requests permission to view your Wi-Fi network and other devices connected to it. Runkeeper wants permission to read your contacts and call log. Even the Kim Kardashian game, which is all the rage these days, logs your location, your device ID, and your incoming calls. As with Messenger, the Kardashian game may have a valid reason to know when you get phone calls, for instance, to save your spot before a call interrupts gameplay. Yes, the permission requests are potentially insidious, but so are WhatsApp, Viber, MessageMe, and virtually every other popular messaging app, all of which request comparably creepy permissions. On my insidiousness scale, at least, the ignorance of the devices and programs we use every day probably ranks higher than one overarching app.
You know, I've got a fix for this. One fix, anyway. And that is, if yourself and your wife or husband or whatever have two phones, swap them over. Send a quick tweet to all the people that you know that you're swapping phones for a week. Use their phone. In other words, the data they think they're getting on somebody is actually from somebody else.
See, I don't think it's worth it. I have completely given up my idea of privacy. I don't think we have it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter what you say, where you say it, and when you say it.
Yeah, and I'm with you on that.
It just
one.
Doesn't matter.
And I think that's why you can screw about with it, as you say.
Yeah.
You can mess around with this, like swap cell phones over for a day.
Yeah.
You know, other things. Give your next door neighbor your shopping list in $100. They give you their shopping list in $100. And then everything that's going on, all these research kind of ways and thinking they're getting into your private life, really, you haven't got a clue.
Yeah. Is it worth it?
That's right. Is it worth it for them when a lot of people start messing around with their data? The data then is rubbish and useless.
Well, let's get on to a little less controversial.
Let's have some fun now. Where are we going?
Vinegar and water de-icing. Have you heard about this?
Oh,
spraying it on your car windows and it'll de-ice your car windows?
No, do you remember that time I went out to wash the truck a few years ago?
Yes.
And I had the hot water in a bucket and the sponge.
We were in Minnesota at the time.
Yeah, about minus 30 degrees, and I thought, I'm going to wash the truck for, you know. I goes outside and I slapped the rag onto the window to start washing, and the thing froze. Completely froze
where it
was. Froze to the window. Oh, that's the quickest car wash I've ever done.
Oh, and I laugh.
Yeah, well, I'm not from here, am I?
Yeah.
I'm not from Minnesota.
In Minnesota, where in the middle of winter you can hammer a nail with a banana.
Oh, yeah.
It freezes that hard.
Oh, yeah, and most likely the nail will give in first.
Yep. Okay, so the rumor is spraying a mixture of vinegar and water on a car's windshield will de-ice it.
Yeah,
and I've seen this going around on Facebook quite a bit. Well, then it says the claim is spraying a mixture of vinegar and water on your car's windshield will de-ice it, but may also create pits in the glass. So there's a mixture of truth to this.
I know. How do you do this pits in the glass business?
Well, that's because of the acidic nature of the vinegar, apparently they're saying causes pits in the glass, which is true. Spray vinegar and water immediately vinegar and water mix to immediately melt windshield ice. Or don't spray vinegar and water mix on windshield because it will pock your windshield. 2/3 cup vinegar and 1/3 cup water mix and spray on icy windshield windows to clear them. That is on Facebook a lot. Now I see a new one that's saying that vinegar will pit holes in the glass in the windscreen. Any truth to that? And then somebody else asked, I read that a mixture of 2/3 vinegar and 1/3 cup water mixture will get ice off your car windows and will pit the glass. True or false? Okay, the origins of this is claims about using mixture of vinegar and water to remove ice from a car's windshield usually hit the internet every year around the time the first freeze in mid to late autumn. And
by glass manufacturers?
No, just by people who have, like, hints for hints from Heloise kind of thing. And during large severe winter storms. In recent years, this advice has been widely spread as information suggesting that spraying vinegar and water mixed in a 2-to-1 or 3-to-1 ratio will remove ice from an already iced over windshield. However, the tip originated not as a de-icing method, but rather as a way of stopping ice from building up on a windshield in the first place.
Oh, okay.
Such as noted in the 1992 newspaper advice column. Question: I keep my car outdoors at night during the winter. I use one of those cardboards on the windshield that still ices and frosts up. What can I do to stop this?
Put it in the garage.
Answer. Dip a sponge or cloth in a solution of 3 parts of either white or yellow vinegar to 1 part water. The windshield should stay ice-free. Repeat occasionally. In the 1980 Hints from Heloise column, advocates the same idea. Looking at the world through cloudy streaked windows, clean them with a mixture of vinegar and water. Same with the windshield. Vinegar helps retard frost on these cold mornings if you pour it on the windshield the night before.
Wait, so this is because of a lower freezing point, must be related.
I would say around this area it would work fine. I would say around Minnesota it would be pretty.
By the same token, could you tip whiskey on it by chance? And have a similar kind of effect.
Would you really want to waste whiskey on your windshield?
No, but I'm just saying, you know, theoretically,
what,
in some kind of different universe.
I'm wondering is, I would think you would lift the windshield wipers because I would think the acidic nature of the vinegar would eat into the rubber of the windshield wipers.
Well, it makes me actually wonder about isopropyl alcohol. That's cheap enough. And would that do a similar
trick?
I don't know. Man, it's a shame it's not winter in Minnesota. Anyway, sorry to jump in there.
Well, that's all right. Well, that's generally the...
Oh, okay. So it does work.
It will not caution, or will not caution. It will not pit the windshield glass, but it may damage the finish around windows.
Oh,
so
films and things?
Yep. Paint, rubber, stuff like that. So wipe off the vinegar mixture as soon as possible.
I would have thought something like soaking newspaper might work in the solution and sticking the newspaper on.
How do you mean?
Well, to get most of the coverage of the area, you know, so you avoid spraying it on your chrome and things.
And then let the newspaper freeze to the...
Well, it wouldn't, would it?
Oh, because, in vinegar and water.
Yeah,
you're
there
saying.
You go.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Don't know.
All right.
I like that one.
Do you want to listen to a Mike Brown beating video?
Not really.
Okay. It says it's false.
Oh, well, that's all right, then.
Okay, video captures killed teenager Michael Brown beating an older man over the theft of a backpack. This video is circulating. It purports to be Michael Brown beating someone up. Is it really him? Someone else says, I've seen the video of Michael Brown hitting a senior black man several times. It was posted by Bob Kitzmerity. I was wondering if it's true. And would like verification on the truth of this video. Bob Kitzmerity, the gentle giant, yeah? The origins of this is on December 9th, 2014, a Facebook user named Sean Spall posted a video purporting to be the footage of Mike Brown, the teenager shot and killed by Officer Darren Wilson in Ferguson, Missouri, brutally assaulting a much older man over the theft of a backpack. The source of the video was not disclosed by his original poster, and later the same day, that user either removed or restricted the video after it had been shared tens of thousands of times.
Sick booger, right?
Subsequently, several copies with explicit language of the video were reposted to YouTube, as seen in the example block above. And again, I have forgotten to post the links to the show, and I will do that immediately after the show and post them on Facebook so you can...
Mind you, I did only ask you if you'd posted them about 10 minutes before the show.
Yeah, and
if I had asked you earlier, maybe the prompting could have been...
Yeah, I would have gotten it taken care of.
Yeah. I'll take some blame there.
Oh, I had a brain fart, what can I say? After originally circulating, the clip was detected by its original posters. Users who had shared the video mistakenly assumed it had been deliberately deleted by Facebook in an attempt to conceal the truth. And this is what they were saying. Wow, Facebook took down private home video I had on my page of Mike Brown beating an old man and robbing him of his backpack. It has mysteriously disappeared off everyone's page that shared it. I remember over 30,000 shares as of yesterday around 5 p.m. Central Standard Time when I first shared it. We need to ask ourselves, why would Facebook want this kid to be seen as a martyr? Why would they censor this information?
Oh, rather coming out with all this even after it's, you know, because it was fake.
Right. Well, they believe it was true.
Yeah,
and they're saying there's some conspiracy why Facebook took this down.
Took it down because it's a pile of rubbish.
But it ends up that there's no way that they can prove that that was Michael Brown, that in fact the person who was beating up the elderly man wasn't nearly as tall as Michael Brown was. He's like 6'4", 6'5".
Oh, right, right.
So in general, they don't believe that it was Michael Brown that was beating up this.
So why would a person post such a thing? I mean, if it's on YouTube, I guess they've got the ad revenue and stuff, haven't they?
Oh, sure.
To look at.
Oh,
so
sure.
So I guess that would be why they'd post whatever they can. It's like the UFO videos are like 2 million hits and it's CGI. It's just there for the... And Bigfoot one's another one, aren't they? You have to discern those, which might be true and which might not.
Right. I'm going to skip the new 2015 taxes due because... Heck, that was yesterday for one
thing.
Oh,
was it anyway?
Yeah.
Oh, dear.
And, like, most of our audience isn't from America anyway, so.
Yeah.
But hopefully you've heard of the Sandy Hook shootings if you live in another country. And this one says the claim is that the FBI revealed that no murders occurred in Newton, Connecticut in 2012. Inadvertently admitting that Sandy Hook Massacre was an elaborate hoax. And this is false, says. An example, saw an FBI report for Connecticut in 2012 that listed no murders in Newtown, Connecticut. What about the 23 children that were supposedly killed at Sandy Hook Elementary? Interesting, don't you think? Origins, on the 25th of September 2014, the conspiracy theories that sprang up following the Sandy Hook Elementary School massacre of December 2012 gained a bizarre new chapter as the website InfoWars, Alex Jones, put forth a new claim. While the belief was that the murders were a false flag attack is not novel, the site alleged that the FBI released a report proving that no one died that day in Newton. Newtown. The Sandy Hook hoax theories are legion, although mostly circle back to the general idea that the massacre was staged to drum up support for an eventual massive revocation of the right to bear arms. In the intervening years, no such gun grabs have come to fruition or even been attempted, but the notion of a Newtown conspiracy remains deeply entrenched in some corners of the web.
Didn't that Feinstein do quite a lot in California?
What gets me, and I don't know if that's a conspiracy thing too, is that picture of the Sandy Hook kids singing at the Super Bowl.
Oh, that was weird. That was actually video, wasn't it?
And every one of them looks like a kid that was killed.
Yeah, that is a strange thing.
That is really
weird. Well, I mean, if we're on this sort of thing, one I found very strange was the guy, I tripped over the video where people are going in one door, going around to the back door, coming out the front door again, going round and round
around.
And somebody put it to that to the music to You Spin Me Right Round, Baby, Right
yeah.
Round. And there's only seems to be about, I don't know, a couple of hundred people there, but it looks like a lot more because they keep streaming out of this door. But the thing is, they're going round in a circle. That doesn't make any sense at all. Why would people
there's
do that?
There's a lot of things that don't make sense about that.
Yeah.
About
well,
that.
That's the other point, though, isn't it? The InfoWars and folks don't need to point at all the stuff that isn't right.
Yeah.
You know, all the, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like the 9/11 stuff, really.
Yeah.
Some stuff, you know, yeah, deserves
and the other
a bit
thing
of a
is,
look
is,
at.
I'm getting this all off of Snopes. And just because Snopes says it's false,
doesn't mean it is. I know what you're saying.
Doesn't mean it is.
I know what you're saying. It's just, yeah, it's good to to cite your source, too, though.
I'm not trying to be a conspiracy theorist, but there's just, I don't know, we hear so many weird things that, you know, for people to go, oh, Snopes says it's true, or Snopes says it's false.
Mm.
Well, who are Snopes, really?
Yeah, they could be paid to be saying this.
Yeah, exactly.
You want to spin it round that way.
Well, anyway,
oh,
the InfoWars Post published on September 2014, drilled down on new crime data provided by the FBI, making specific observation about the lack of murders tailed in Newtown, Connecticut for 2012. The site outlines a general conspiracy first, explaining. On December 14, 2012, the world watched in horror as the corporate media reported the deaths of 20 students and 6 staff members at the Sandy Hook Elementary School in Newtown in the hands of a deranged 20-year-old.
Allegedly.
Internet sleuths immediately took to the web.
Like that word.
Sleuths. Immediately took to the web to stitch together clues indicating the shooting could be a carefully scripted false flag.
Julie, you there now?
Yep, we're here.
Okay.
Thanks, Chris.
I was just going to play a song, and I saw you pop on, so there you go.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
All right, everybody, can you hear us now?
Testing, 1, 2, 3.
Oh, let me make sure we got
the
microphone.
Simon says, yay sound.
Yeah, we got dropped.
Did you have anything controversial not to talk about?
I think we were being controversial about whether we believe Snopes.
Oh, right. Oh, so Snopes got on our call, didn't
well,
he? Chopped us off.
I don't know who did, but we were talking about the people coming in and out of the building and a lot of strange things about that, and then the Aurora shooting, and as soon as we talked about the Aurora shooting, we got dropped.
So let's try a different line of approach.
Let's
do you have anything about palm fritters and light bulbs?
Let's go to something more light, perhaps.
Yeah.
The Screech Murder.
Oh, Julie. So what is the Screech Murder and why
the Screech Murder. Well, Screech was a character in a show called Saved by the Bell.
Okay.
All right.
Oh, okay, TV show, 80s.
Yeah. Yeah, and apparently...
Malcolm in the Middle guy?
No.
Oh.
Oh, no. Oh, heavens, no.
Well, I don't
know. No, this was quite a bit before Malcolm in the Middle. Yeah. He was accused of stabbing a guy in a bar in Wisconsin and killing him.
Yeah.
And apparently he accidentally stabbed a man with what he thought was a pen, although he later referred to the weapon, which was never found, as a knife.
Oh.
Well, anyway, the guy didn't die. So he wasn't ever arrested for murder, but he may face charges for up to 10 years in prison.
Yeah, attempted manslaughter kind of thing.
Yeah. So that's all there is. Facts on honey and cinnamon. I don't think we'll get cut off on that one.
No, what's wrong with honey and cinnamon?
Nothing's wrong with honey and cinnamon.
Sounds pretty good to me.
It says, article extols the medical values or virtues of honey and cinnamon. And it's kind of a mixture of whether it's true or not. And it's found to be that a mixture of honey and cinnamon cures most of the diseases. Honey is produced in most of the countries of the world. Well, it gives a list of heart disease, bladder infections, toothache, cholesterol, colds, upset stomach, gas, immune system, indigestion, influenza, longevity, pimples, skin infections, weight loss, cancer.
And it can cure longevity.
It can create longevity.
Okay.
Cancer, fatigue, and bad breath.
Oh, yeah, well.
Excuse me.
And coughing?
Then coughing.
Mm-hmm.
Some of these are true, some of these are not. And it's saying the healthy benefit, it has antioxidant effects, it has energy enhancing effects, wound healing property, and anti-cancer benefits.
Wound healing?
Wound healing.
Oh, wound healing. Oh, okay.
Yep. I've heard of that, of like bee stings and stuff. You put honey on top of the bee sting.
I didn't know that one either.
Yeah. Honey has been used topically as an antiseptic therapeutic agent for treatment of ulcers, burns, and wounds for centuries.
Hmm.
Yep. The anti-cancer benefits. Propolis contains well-researched phytochemicals and have numerous cancer-preventing and anti-tumor properties. Propolis must be a thing of
cinnamon
or
honey.
Honey, I would think.
Okay.
Alrighty. Honey, particular dark honey, is such as buckwheat honey, is a rich source of phenolic compounds such as flavonoids that exert significant antioxidant activity. I know that honey, if you have allergies, you try to get locally produced honey that have the
oh yes because
the pollens in it that you're allergic to, and you build
right.
up a tolerance
because the
to
bees
it.
Themselves are eating the stuff that is giving you the fevers and things.
Well, do you think if we took a break right now that
we can come back?
We can come back?
I hope so.
Okay, we're going to set you up here with U2 Mysterious Ways from Akhtung, baby.
It's a good choice, really.
And Mysterious Ways, no kidding, especially when the phone goes freaky. 4 minutes, 6 seconds. We'll see you then. get cut off, but we get back, and Chris, Curious Times, help us out.
Yes, very kindly.
He's going to play some music for us. And
now, they're talking about battery life here on tablets and things. I just noticed in the chat there. And I must just mention this iPad thing I was very kindly given. It was broken, and I managed to, well, find out how to charge it by turning it completely
off. The
Apple
iPad?
This iPad, original one, from whatever, 2010 or something. Now, it might take about 8 hours, 9 hours to charge up, but it lasts all week. And I use it, what, 2 or 3 hours at least of a day?
Of a day, yeah.
And it just goes on and on. They're ridiculous battery life on these things. But they are ridiculously sized batteries. But anyway, see, I don't particularly like Apple products, but I certainly like the battery life on this thing. That's just to mention.
Well, let's do another shout-out in the room, shall we?
Sure.
We've got Kathy Distant Echoes, who is me. We've got Kathy B., who is really Kathy Distant Echoes. I'm glad to have you here. We've got Curious Times Chris, who's always there in case of an emergency. Thank you very much. We've got Energy Therapies. Thank you for stopping by. Jennifer's Journey, love to have you here. Lynn, Rihanna, and Simon, I always include you all together because you're all from Great Britain. Love you all. And Slider, who was from Great Britain. And I saw we had Sick of Being Lied To was in here, but was gone. And Walk with Spirit is with us. So glad to have you here.
I wonder what happened to Sick of Being Lied To.
I don't know. Maybe we lied to him. I don't think
probably
so.
Mentioning Apple.
Uh-oh. That must have been it.
Alrighty, so what kind of urban legends we got now? I like that honey and cinnamon thing.
All
that
right.
Was kind of interesting, that was.
Think before you donate.
Think before I donate what?
Donate money.
Uh-huh.
It says this one is mostly outdated and inaccurate. And it's about the money that the presidents of charitable...
We're not going to get cut off, are we?
I hope not. It says, keep these, you know, money, presidents of charitable organizations.
Oh, I've heard something about
this one. All right.
Oh, yeah. They keep hold of loads of the money that's donated.
And this was collected via email on October 2010.
Mm-hmm. Oh, well, when the iPad came out.
Yeah, it's got some outdated...
Is it still true, though? Is that the point?
I'm gonna go with the origins here. When deciding which charities to donate to, many people consider an important factor to be the efficiency of these organizations. That is, what percentage of the monies taken in by given charities goes to its funding its mission, rather than being eaten up by costs such as fundraising activities, salaries, and other administrative overhead. The email reproduced above, which began circulating in 2005, has been recirculated every year since around Christmas time. Since then, around Christmas time, attempts to steer potential donors away from inefficient charities. Unfortunately, much of the information it presents
it's false.
Was inaccurate back in 2005, and it has grown only more so in the years since.
Suing quality, that then.
Yeah, resulting in the misleading and outdated view of various charities. We attempt to present accurate and up-to-date information about the above-named charities. The following efficiency information is derived from Charity Navigator website, the GuideStar website, and Forbes magazine November 2009 special report on 200 largest U.S. charities. Salary information is taken from Schedule J, compensation information of various charities, IRS Form 990 filings, which is a bunch of blah blah to anybody who doesn't live in the United States.
Basically, they're saying they've got the research right. It's
right.
Just somebody's opinion.
Yeah. UNICEF. The email is not specific about which executive is being referred to here, but as UNICEF, the United Nations Children's Fund, is a global organization with offices in 190 countries. We're assuming the reference is to the president and CEO of the United States Fund for UNICEF, Carl M. Stern, whose last reported total yearly compensation was $472,891.
Good gracious.
Not $1,200,000.
Yeah, even so.
Even so. Both Charity Navigator and Forbes rate this organization's efficiency at 91%, far greater than the 14% claimed in the email cited above.
So, yeah, so the basis is UNICEF are all right. The guys are getting paid a lot, but 91%.
The American Red Cross. The information presented above is outdated as of October 2010, as Marcia J. Evans resigned her position as CEO of the American Red Cross in 2005. The current president and CEO of the American Red Cross since 2008 is Gail J. McGovern, whose total yearly compensation for 2010 was about $1,037,000, considerably higher than the $651,957 figure mentioned above, and for 2011 was about $561,000. Charity Navigator from Forbes and Forbes both rate this organized efficiency at 92%, much higher than the 39% figure claimed.
They're still earning a heck of a deal, right?
I know.
For charity work.
I know.
Mean, yeah, all right, you know, you might have some great skills. And it is always argued that, you know, many millions were saved by that person being at the top. So they see it that way.
There's a lot of money going into charities.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of money. I mean, if you figure that they're 91 and 92% efficient and they're...
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Is getting salaries at that rate, they've got to be making a lot of money.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's a lot of money in the 8%, you're saying.
Yeah. The United Way is another charitable organization that operates on both global and local levels. We're assuming the email references the president of the and CEO of the United Way Worldwide, Brian A. Gallagher, whose last reported total yearly compensation was $717,076, including a base salary of $415,613. Which is a bit higher than the $375,000 figure reported above. Charity Navigator rates this organization's efficiency at 89%, while Forbes rates it at 85%, both much higher than the 51% efficiency claimed in the above email.
A quick question. Can a charity be pulled from charitable status if it drops below a certain percentage of efficiency?
I don't know, but that is a good question.
I would think that would be kind of, you know, a pretty obvious thing if they're about 12% efficient or something. Whoa, yank that status quick.
There's one of these I'm trying to find where the CEO... He gives away his earnings.
Oh, yeah, I know. Yeah, and I read that one too, where the guy... basically makes less than a hamster.
Yeah.
And does it for charitable reasons and all the rest, yeah.
I can't find it. But those are the most probably worldwide known.
Hang on a minute. Is it not those people that sell second-hand clothes and things?
Goodwill?
No, another one. It's in the UK as well. What's the name? Samaritans. Is he not the boss of Samaritans? I don't want to
Americans.
Be wrong.
I don't know. That's
out.
Not an American thing.
No, but I think I remember that name is.
Okay.
We'll have to check it out.
Well, let me see what Goodwill here, because it's not a business that takes Goodwill International is not a business that takes in donated items and resells them for profit. It is a not-for-profit organization that provides job training, employment places, services, and other community-based programs for people who have disabilities, lack education or job experience, or face employment challenges. Goodwill raises money for their programs through a chain of thrift stores, which also operate as nonprofits. So apparently that's not in the CEO-based hierarchy.
Right, so it's forming a difference there between the non-profits and the kind of for-profits.
Oh, wait a minute. The CEO of Goodwill Industries International is not Mark Curran, nor does he make $2.3 million a year. The current president of and CEO of Goodwill is Jim Gibbons, who in 2011 received a total reported compensation of $725,000.
They all earn a lot of the time, don't they?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
So, but the ones that we gave you are the most efficient. UNICEF, America Red Cross, and United Way apparently are the most efficient for where
so
your
those
dollar goes.
When phone calls come in, those are the ones to maybe appreciate most.
Yep. Michael Kors, have you heard about this?
Is he a beer drinker?
You know Michael Kors from Project Runway?
No.
Oh, remember watching Project Runway with me?
Yes, but I remember is the gay guy.
He was a judge. Michael Kors was a judge, like the judge that they always had on there.
What was that word that fella used to say? The
make it work.
Oh, that fella, yeah, but the very camp one that we...
That was the camp one.
No, that was the boss guy. I'm on about one of the designer
guys. Oh, fierce.
Fierce, that was...
So fierce.
Everything was fierce.
So fierce.
It's a star, though, wasn't it?
Yeah, he was. I loved
great
him.
Great character.
Yeah. Reported has saying, I'm tired of pretending to like blacks.
Oh.
Example, did Michael Kors recently state he was tired of pretending that he likes black people? Origins. On January 6, 2015, the entertainment website Naha Daily published an article claiming fashion CEO Michael Kors announced via Twitter he is tired of pretending to like black people. Just for the sake of a sale, I have to deal with women like Nicki Minaj? I'd rather not. After all, my fans made me money. It's not fair I be honest and let them know how I really feel, said the CEO Michael Kors on his Twitter account.
I doubt he'd say that.
The fashion industry is shocked from Michael Kors' CEO offensive statement when he said, I'm tired of pretending to like blacks. Early Tuesday morning, Michael Kors took to his Twitter page to express his true feelings about blacks. Considering every black person either has or knows someone with an MK watch, MK purse, or MK keychain, this might affect Michael Kors sales. I can't stomach the thought of my Michael Kors purses being stuffed with synthetic hair, weave, or whatever else my fans are into, said Michael Kors. Can you believe they believed he said that?
I don't know. It's the only way it's pushed. If it's pushed often enough, folks believe it, don't they?
Tacky.
Yeah.
So tacky.
Mind you, racial division is just number one thing in this country anyway at the moment.
Yes. The article quickly spread via social media sites, with some readers threatening to boycott the brand over the CEO's purported racist comments. Boycott Michael Kors says, Michael Kors' CEO stated, I'm tired of pretending to like blacks, Michael Kors said. He doesn't want his purses filled with synthetic hair. But there is no truth to the above quoted article. Naha Daily is one of many fake news sites on the internet. And
it's your file kind of thing.
Yeah, and its disclaimer states all the articles published on the site are complete fiction.
Mm-hmm.
They better watch their butts because they could get sued big time. If it affects his sales.
Yes, indeed. Yeah, some people see it as a dry humor, but yeah, if it starts affecting his business.
That is...
What's his name again?
Michael Kors.
And he's an internationally known excellent designer?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. in fact, when we were watching the protests in New York, I saw that they went into Macy's and there was a Michael Kors section of his clothes and purses and shoes. And everything else. Have you heard about the Aldi food products sold by Aldi?
Aldi's a supermarket.
They contain horse meat?
Awesome.
Awesome. It's outdated.
Outdated horse meat.
It's not like it.
Can you get such a thing?
It's not like it never happened.
Oh, my.
It's just they don't do it anymore.
No.
Yes.
Really?
Yes. And let's see.
Aldi were always like a cheap place, but they had some different gear. So you thought, oh, I'll go in there because I can't get that anywhere else. Presumably because it's made of horses is why it's individual and different.
Swedish food producer Findus is only one of several companies that receive products from Comagel. Others include Axe Food, Co-op, and ICA, which have recalled some meat products in Sweden, and Aldi, which has pulled some products from shelves in Britain.
Yeah.
So that...
Aldi
were
quite a popular store. Well, I don't know now. Well, they were when I was in there.
It says that they tested them and it contained 30 to 100% horse meat instead of beef.
Now, there is a difference, though. If you're told it's beef and it's horse meat, yeah. But who's to say the horse meat isn't nice?
Well, that's what I was wondering. You know, we all hold horses to a different standard than we do cows, it seems like, unless you're a Brahmin, of course, and cows are holy and stuff. But
oh, of course, in India, yeah.
Because horses have much more of a personality than cows do. They're,
says who?
Well, I've been told that horses
you
are like...
You never watched Magic Roundabout as a kid, did you?
No.
That cow on Magic Roundabout
had
all the personality you can imagine.
That's a cartoon. But I've been told that horses are basically big dogs. They have personalities like dogs.
Cows can be big dogs, too.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that's what the rumor is, and that it was... It's outdated, meaning that, they did it at one time.
It did happen, though. Oh, that's way gross.
Yeah.
It is gross in that way. Well, the fact is they didn't label it properly, did they? They didn't tell you you were eating a horse.
No. And if it came to me being on a horseback and in a desert and I'm dying or the horse is dying, I'm eating that horse.
Simon just reminded me, it is Ermintrude. Ermintrude was the cow on Magic Roundabout. And if you've never seen it in New America, look up Magic Roundabout on
YouTube.
Well, you showed
it to me.
Yeah, well, that's what I mean. Oh. And it will really, I don't know what they were on, but, you know, if you're on something yourself, you'll get a great giggle out of that, I presume. They must have been on something with that show. It was just amazing.
Well, how about this one? For scene of the crime.
Scene of the crime?
For scene of the crime.
For scene? Is that like porcelain or not?
That's like pigs.
Oh, no.
The FBI raided and dismantled a pig brothel in Missouri.
How'd you get a pig brothel, though, shouldn't we ask?
Well, here's an email. I recently read about a pig brothel in Rolla, Missouri, being raided by the FBI. Fathers and sons charged with abuse of pigs. People were having sex with the piglets.
Oh, come on now. What?
The origins. On 2nd of January 2015, the website World Daily News Report published...
Oh, that's legitimate.
...published an article reporting a supposed FBI raid of a pig brothel in Missouri. Suspected for some time by local authorities of running a pig farm functioning as an underground pig brothel where clients were paid for sexual services with farm animals, the 67-year-old farmer owner... was arrested with two of his sons and some 30 guests who were present to celebrate the New Year's Eve. We can't explain why animal brothels seem to be in high demand in the region, explains psychologist Dane Bass.
Not so much for the women, does it?
the human beings are allowed to unleash their wildest fantasies in such contexts, even though illegal might prevent such abuses, rape from being committed, she admits. But at the same time, having sexual relations with pigs and other animals is not considered to be a healthy behavior and should not be encouraged, she acknowledges.
Oh,
the farmer and his son could spend up to 5 years in prison, expect legal experts.
I guess no one told him to put lipstick on a pig, it's still a pig.
Yeah, right. Well, many readers... seemingly believe the FBI actually raided a pig brothel in Missouri. There was no truth to the above-quoted story.
Good. I'm very glad.
World Daily News Report is a fake news website that publishes fictitious articles. Previous stories published in the site include 49 goats dead in latest chupacabra attack, loggers accidentally cut down the world's oldest tree in the Amazon forest, and mysterious remains of a whale found in a field in Utah.
Oh, that wasn't true.
I heard of the last two.
Yeah.
Dang, no pig brothels in Missouri. Eminem interview.
What, as in a chocolate sweet, got interviewed?
You know Eminem, the singer Eminem?
Oh, I see.
He gave a real interview in the movie The Interview in which he announced he was gay.
Oh.
That's the claim. A lot of people are saying that because Eminem came out as a homosexual in the movie The Interview that he actually is homosexual.
Oh, they didn't realize he could be acting.
Was he acting or was he actually homosexual?
Oh, my.
Shortly after moviegoers witnessed Eminem's cameo in the movie The Interview, release date 2014, rumors began circulating about the authenticity of comments the rap star made during the course of the interview concluded in the film. Websites such as Huffington Post, Billboard, and The Advocate published in the above-displayed clip, along with headlines similar to Eminem comes out as gay in The Interview. This headline, coupled with the fact that many people have yet to see the controversial Seth Rogen movie, well, right there, that gives you a clue, led to some question whether Eminem's comments about his sexuality that he made in the film were real. Whatever he might personally feel, however, Eminem is not shown in the film making frank admissions about his lyrics, his feelings toward people, or his sexuality. The interview sequence in which he appears is a scripted scene acted out for a movie, not
and
a real
do well.
Off-the-cuff interview. Apparently so, did too well. The interview was written by Evan Goldberg, Dan Sterling, and Seth Rogen, and while the movie does include cameos from celebrities such as Eminem and Guy Fieri playing themselves, the events that take place in the film are completely fictional. One could arrive at this conclusion through the various aspects of the movie's plot, e.g. the tabloid show Skylark Tonight doesn't exist, Kim Jong-un was not assassinated by Seth Rogen and James Franco.
That film. Okay.
But one could also discern the truth simply by watching the film's end credits, which note, this is a work of fiction. The characters, incidents, and locations portrayed and the names herein are fictitious, and any similarity or identification with the location, name, character, or history of any person, product, or entity is entirely coincidental.
You know, the main thing I think about this is whether Eminem was or not. Nobody who's being affected by this revelation is going to be sleeping with the guy. So what does it matter?
Gives a crap.
Yeah, who cares?
Yeah.
But I think he just acted brilliantly if they're coming out with all that. And indeed, it puts him back in the spotlight, a fellow that last had a tune when, I don't know. You know, he seemed to fade out, didn't he, somewhat from his heyday? I don't know, but that's how it seems. So maybe this whole controversy helped him in his career.
Yeah. Do you remember that two-year-old boy who shot his mother by accident in
with
Walmart
the gun. Yeah.
With a gun?
Yeah.
Well, there's a claim that he's going to be tried as an adult.
That can't be right.
That's false.
Good.
And somebody says,
who the heck raises those rumors, though?
Just seen a post regarding the two-year-old kid who shot his mother in Walmart being charged as an adult. Please tell me this is not true. Origins. On 30 December 2014, a two-year-old toddler sitting in a shopping cart in a Walmart in Hayden, Ohio, reached into his mother's purse and found the gun she carried there. As the boy grabbed the weapon, it discharged once near point-blank range from where she stood, killing her. A couple of days later, Empire News published an article positing police believed the shooting as to be deliberate and the toddler was to be tried as an adult in a criminal court. Police and local investigators say the two-year-old toddler was fired the gun in an Idaho Walmart store, killing his mother will be tried as an adult. On December 30th, police say that the young mother who was shopping with her children was killed when her two-year-old son reached into her purse and discharged a small caliber pistol that she had concealed inside. In what the police originally considered a tragic accident, the woman died before paramedics could arrive. We strongly believe that this child knew precisely what he was doing when he reached into his mother's purse and fired the weapon.
Let's see now, because he had a long history of playing violent video games.
Well, not only that, he had shooting range practice.
Oh, of course, yes. Since birth. In the womb.
Yeah. At this time, we will not be discussing what evidence has mounted to lead us to this decision, as trial will be pending. Soon afterwards, links and excerpts referencing this link were being circulated via social media, with many of those who encountered the item mistaking it for a genuine news article. However, aside from the fact that such a shooting did occur, there is no truth to the story. The mother's death was considered accidental, and no one, at least of all the toddler, is being tried for her death.
The poor kid's got to go through life knowing what happened.
This story was a spoof from Empire News, one of the many fake news sites that publishes fictional stories.
Another one's a blacklist. Big
time. It's just disgusting that they take these tragedies and use them for entertainment.
Of who? Well, probably the same kind of people that go to those pig brothels.
Yeah, no kidding. Cell phone numbers being given to telemarketers.
Oh, yeah.
Have you heard about that?
No.
Cell phone users must register their numbers with the National Do Not Call Directory by a given deadline to prevent their cell phone numbers from being released to telemarketers. What we call the Do Not Call
doesn't work
thing, and we still get telephone calls from... Well, they say that debt collectors and charitable companies can still call.
Yeah, but we get debt collection things for people that don't live here.
That don't live here and never lived here, and we tell them we don't live here and take our number off your thing.
A couple of months later, they ring back with the same guy. The
funniest dang thing is problems with your credit card. We don't have a credit card.
Yeah,
you know, we don't owe anybody anything.
By design, but it means you haven't got anything either. So that's
get off our back. So anyway, long story short, this is not true. They're not going to be sending your cell phone number to...
whoever wants to buy it, I guess.
Yeah, to whoever wants to buy it. Almost makes it worth having a cell phone. Almost. All right.
So, where now?
Let's see. False flag.
Oh, dear. Oh, wait a minute. We got cut off once already today.
Oh, this is about football.
Football? Which kind?
American football.
Oh, right. Okay.
The claim is that NFL referee Pete Morelli quit after being paid $500,000 for his officiating at 2014 Cowboys-Lions playoff game.
He got paid $500,000.
$500,000. It says, Wi-Fi, I want to know if there's any truth behind this. If so, Dallas should be disqualified for giving bribe, and Detroit should go on plain and simple. That's what the...
Can you get paid such an amount?
On January 5th, 2015, Naha Daily...
Oh, here we go again.
...published an article claiming NFL referee Pete Morelli mysteriously came into $500,000 and quit his job shortly after he had controversially announced that and then rescinded a crucial pass interference call in the fourth quarter of the Cowboys-Lions playoff game the previous day. A call many fans believe turned the tide of the game and allowed Dallas to triumph over Detroit.
So he actually did make that judgment that was allegedly and apparently incorrect then.
Yeah.
By a lot of fans.
But they're saying
now, these guys are saying he got paid to do
so. He got paid to do so.
But he didn't.
Well,
he's just a rubbish referee,
isn't
he?
That's false.
Ah.
Another Sandy Hook hoax.
We can possibly have to skip that one.
All right, let's...
We'll write it and post it to people.
All right, yeah, it'll be in our links here.
Oh, yeah, of course, and they've got to be posted, yeah.
And I have to post them yet. Hobby Lobby.
Oh, yeah?
I'm sorry, I'm very opinionated on this, and if I offend anybody, I apologize, but Hobby Lobby refuses to provide health care coverage for their employees because they can use that health care coverage to get contraceptives.
That is health care coverage still, though. Well, yeah. You should pay for it.
They call, here's what gets me.
Mm-hmm.
But now our government threatens to change all of that, referring to how they live on Christian principles and run their country, their company on Christian principles. A new government health care mandate says that our family business must provide what I believe are abortion-causing drugs as part of our health insurance. Abortion-causing drugs. Contraception. I'm sorry.
You're not pregnant in the first case. How can it be abortion-causing?
That bothers me.
It's an odd way to look at it.
It's terribly odd.
What's the solution? Be like that Russian woman that's had 30 kids and now quadruplets.
They have a lawsuit going on in the Superior Court. Supreme Court ruled that in June 2014, the Supreme Court ruled that closely held for-profit companies can claim a religious exemption to the Affordable Care Act requirement that they provide health insurance coverage for contraceptives.
All right, so folks have got to buy their own. It's no great deal, really, is it?
Right.
I mean, has something been made of it that's more than it actually is? They've been made out to be, you know, very orthodox. So really, it's just a case of
But you know
right?
what's going to get, where it's going to get? They're going to still be able to cover Viagra for men.
Oh, that's another one, isn't it? I see what you're saying.
And not cover
boob implants, things like this.
Yep.
I see what you're saying.
It was a 5-4 decision, which applied to two companies owned by Christian families, opened the door to challenges from other corporations to many laws that may be said to violate their religious liberty. So that gets on my nerve, where they're calling contraceptives abortion-causing drugs.
Oh, that's weird. Yeah.
And it's just... So I got to take a quick look in the chat way just to see if I offended anybody. I sure hope I didn't.
Oh, no, I do see that would be hilarious, but I don't know.
Okay. Okay, Motrin Warburton.
Oh, apparently Rihanna says a good old-fashioned whistle works wonders. I don't know if that's related to the Hobby Lobby story. A good old-fashioned whistle, I think that would. That would do a great deal, wouldn't it?
I think we'll end up here. We got 6 minutes left if Simon's keeping track. There's been a warning that interaction of Motrin and Robitussin can cause heart attacks in children.
Hang on, what kind?
Motrin.
What's that?
Which is ibuprofen, which is a painkiller.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And Robitussin, which is a cough suppressant, can cause heart attack in children. And this is false.
Oh, well, that's good to know.
I still wouldn't do it myself.
Well, administer such chemicals
to
children.
Not to a kid.
I see. So they are strong and they work.
If their child, junior strength, you know, maybe cut them in half, give them half.
Well, yeah, I mean, your clue is the junior bit written on the bottle, isn't it, really? Or child's, similar.
So go ahead, give your kids Motrin, Robitussin. They were saying that ibuprofen reacts with the diphenhydramine that's in Robitussin and causes heart attacks, but apparently not.
No, that's good to know. That's a positive one, really.
Yeah. So, now let me go over to the Blog Talk Radio studio and find us a song to take us out of the show, see how much time we got left, and I think we'll go with Journey, Separate Ways, being we're separating here. So that's all it from him.
And that's all it from her.
And have a great week. Love y'all.